Happy Sunday and good afternoon. My name is Jim DeJunis. I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. The name of our program is Reflections, and from time to time we'll be reading books from well-known Christian authors. The one we are reading right now is from Sarah Young, and it's a daily devotional. We read some inspiring words from her as well as the Holy Bible, and we do that every Sunday. And we're reading Matthew right now, and we got through about halfway through chapter 5 of Matthew last week, and we'll pick that up here in a moment. What I'd like to do first is start with prayer and then read Sarah Young's Jesus Calling, and then we'll begin with the study of Matthew. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for many things. We thank you for all things. We thank you for our listening audience. We ask that they are healthy and happy, and we ask that, Lord, that they come today with an open heart, an open spirit to hear your holy word, to learn, and to put into practice those things that you ask us to put into practice, and that is namely love. Love you, love others. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for all things, the good times and the bad. We're thankful, especially thankful for the North Carolina Reading Service. It's fine volunteers and it's fine donors that make programs like this possible. Lord, we pray for our families and we pray for our cities and state and our great nation and our entire world. Lord, we need you more than ever to negotiate through life's challenges. We know that you have all the answers. Just help us, remind us of that on a daily basis, that we should be coming to you for help. We should be coming to you for guidance. We should be coming to you every day for some quiet time, for your peace. And we ask all this in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. Sarah Young writes, I am the God of all time and all that is. Seek me not only in the morning quietness, but constantly throughout the day. Do not let unexpected problems distract you from my presence. Instead, talk with me about everything and watch confidently to see what I will do. Adversity need not interrupt your communion with me. When things go wrong, you tend to react as if you're being punished. Instead of this negative response, try to review the difficulties as a blessing in disguise. Make me your refuge by pouring out your heart to me, trusting in me at all times. Psalm 55, verse 17 teaches us, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Psalm 32, verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. And Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Amen and amen. Well, last week we began the Gospel of Matthew, an introduction as well as the first 4.5 chapters. Highlight from last week, I think, was kind of going through the genealogy and Matthew's premise that Jesus is Lord, that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he referenced probably 5 or 6 different prophecies in our reading last week. Jesus started teaching in chapter 4, and in chapter 4 he started teaching about the Beatitudes, those 8 things that we should be, as Christians, should be embracing. Those 8 things help remind us how to live. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. I encourage you, please embrace the Beatitudes, really get to know them, really get to understand them, There are many, many books on the topic. And due to time constraints, we just kind of review what we were reading last week. And again, I probably had a little more of a commentary than you wanted to hear, but a little bit of commentary from last week. So we're going to pick up chapter 5, verse 27, and Jesus is teaching us here about many things. This particular topic is lust. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose a part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that they may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than the other? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by other men. I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you do pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you do pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And let us not be tempted, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and dust and rust will destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is your darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow or stow away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them for. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, just prior to this last teaching, it may mention that the eye is the lamp of the body, and I recognize I'm reading to a print impaired or blind audience. And, you know, there are times in the Bible it talks about the eye, and it could be the physical eye. Sometimes it's the eyes of the heart. I'm not sure which one it is. And please don't take this as a representation that God thinks you're dark because you're not able to see or see well. I interpret this more as the eyes of your heart, right? If what you can see is not just... it's just not the physical piece. It's what you sense and feel and what you can see in your heart and through your heart. That's how I interpret. So please don't be put off by that in any way, shape, or form. That is not the intent. Chapter 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in the name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as though one who had authority, and not as a teacher of the law. Chapter 8. This is where we start seeing Jesus performing miracles. Chapter 8. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, will you make me clean? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And the servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many of those demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have holes, and birds have their air. Birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. When he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came from the tombs and met him. They were so violent that no one could pass by there. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them was a large herd of pigs feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into that herd of pigs. He said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Now, can you imagine? If you knew this was Jesus, if you thought that he could be the savior of the world, you asked him to leave your sight. You asked him to leave your land. You asked him to, after he had just saved some men over pigs. Wow. I'm sure if that region of Gadarenes could replay that one, they certainly would. Chapter 9. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and praised God who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Of course, this is the Matthew that wrote this gospel. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. I apologize. I'm going to reread that because this is really, really, really important. The Pharisees asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Do you get that? Do you understand that meaning? Jesus is our doctor. Jesus came to heal us. If we don't think we need to be healed, are we going to be healed? No, that's a person who's prideful. We need to be humble. We need to understand what our circumstances are. There's none of us that are truly righteous. We're only righteous because of Christ. Jim DeJunis on his own is not righteous. No way. I sin five times before I get out of bed in the morning. And another really, really important piece here. Jesus desires mercy, not sacrifice. He wants our hearts, just like the Beatitudes said in chapter 4, he wants our heart, or chapter 5, he wants our hearts to be merciful so that we ourselves can receive mercy. He doesn't care what we're offering up, right? If it's shallow, if it's not heartfelt, he desires us to really take action. He wants our heart. He doesn't want our things. He wants our heart. That's where the rubber meets the road. Verse 14, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into an old wineskin. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that very moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout the region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done for to you? And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has never happened in Israel. But the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Please join us next week. The content of our program, again, is intended for the blind and print impaired. We hope you've enjoyed the program. May God bless you, those you love, this day and every day.